Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 6th, 2026. And from the front page of the commercial news today, the first story we have is titled DMT Fills Void for Dialysis Patients. And this story is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. The Danville Mass Transit stepped in over the weekend for dialysis patients following Friday's closure of Chris Rural Mass Transit District. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. shared he couldn't be prouder of the DMT and the director, Steve White. They contacted every dialysis center in Danville and voluntarily spent Saturday driving Danville patients that were formerly served by Chris RMTD to their appointments, Williams said in a social media post. We will continue doing so to the best of our ability until such time as we have worked out logistics and can offer more comprehensive services. And for Williams, making sure patients get dialysis is personal. That's literally life or death for people, Williams said of getting patients the necessary care. My uncle just died of kidney failure in August. I think that made it especially, and if it hadn't been for dialysis, he's one of those people that needed the transportation, too. It's something we would have done anyway, Williams added. Like I tell my staff, no matter what anyone else does or says or treats us, it is our job to do the right thing. Then, because of the situation with my uncle recently, it's even more so in my mind and my heart. Chris RMT served not only Vermilion County, but Ford and Iroquois as well. Williams said Danville cannot transport those outside of Danville at this time, leaving outside transportation up in the air. Unfortunately, we do not yet have the capacity to offer this for non-Danville residents, but hope to in the future, Williams said. The city of Danville is diligently working to close the transportation gap and ensure that both our citizens and our brothers and sisters throughout Vermilion County receive the help they so desperately need. All of those things have to be worked out before they can really move fully forward, Williams said. I am just so proud right now that we figured out a way for everyone in Vermilion County got the dialysis they need. Williams said any help from Danville outside city limits would require an intergovernmental agreement between the city, state, and counties. It would also require us to procure equipment, hire and train drivers, and get them and additional fleet vehicles insured, Williams said. We are reaching out to former Chris RMTD drivers as we speak, and Illinois Department of Transportation is working with us to get some of their vehicles transferred to us for future service. Williams said there was a meeting on Monday to work through everything. Although dereliction has put us all in a bad spot, Williams wrote, I have every confidence that if we work together, we'll be able to provide the transportation services our citizens need. Later on Monday, Williams indicated on Facebook the meeting will be held on Tuesday. Williams wrote, We are still working through all of the required steps to provide more extensive service. Our meeting with Director Schaefer had to be moved to tomorrow morning, Tuesday, due to the amount of inventory and other work they had to do at Chris RMTD today, on Monday. Williams added the service also supplies transportation for those with disabilities. They also have a contract with Crosspoint, WorkSource, and Community Action, basically folks that work with individuals that have disabilities and things to provide them for their transportation, Williams said. For example, there were 80-some clients that they were providing rides to WorkForce every day. Williams added, they are trying to figure things out but while there will be a meeting tomorrow morning, he said they still will not have a complete solution. And so, we are also desperately working out how we can figure out those things, Williams said. I just want everyone to know that we are working nonstop to figure this out so that we can make sure that our citizens and our neighbors are taken care of. But it's going to take a little bit of time. Messages were left with White with no response by the time of publication. Next, from the front page, we have an AP story titled Maduro Pleads Not Guilty. Venezuelan leader claims Americans kidnapped him. New York. A defiant Nicolas Maduro declared himself the president of my country as he protested his capture and pleaded not guilty Monday to federal drug trafficking charges that the Trump administration used to justify removing him from power in Venezuela. I was captured, Maduro said in Spanish, as translated by a courtroom interpreter before being cut off by the judge. Asked later for his plea to the charges, he stated, I am innocent. I am not guilty. I am a decent man, the constitutional president of my country. Maduro's court appearance in Manhattan, his first since he and his wife, Celia Flores, were seized from their Caracas home Saturday in a stunning middle-of-the-night military operation, kicked off the U.S. government's most consequential prosecution in decades of a foreign head of state. She also pleaded not guilty. The criminal case is unfolding against a broader diplomatic backdrop of an audacious U.S.-engineered regime change that President Donald Trump has said will enable his administration to, quote, run the South American country. Maduro, 63, was brought to court under heavy security early Monday, flown by helicopter to Manhattan from Brooklyn, where he was jailed, and then driven to the courthouse in an armed vehicle. He and Flores were led into court just before noon. Both were in leg shackles and jail-issued garb, and both put on headsets to hear the English language proceeding as it was translated into Spanish. As Maduro left the courtroom, a man in the audience denounced him as an illegitimate president. As a criminal defendant in the U.S. legal system, Maduro will have the same rights as any other person charged with a crime in the country, including the right to jury trial. But given the circumstances of his arrest and the geopolitical stakes at play, he'll also be nearly, but not quite, unique. That was made clear from the outset, as Maduro, who took copious notes throughout the proceedings and wished Happy New Year to reporters as he entered the courtroom, repeatedly pressed his case that he had been unlawfully abducted. I am here kidnapped since January 3rd, Saturday, Maduro said, standing and leaning his tall frame toward a tabletop microphone. I was captured at my home in Caracas. U.S. District Judge Alvin Hellerstein, a 92-year-old jurist who was appointed to the federal bench in 1998 by Bill Clinton, interrupted him, saying, There will be a time and a place to go into all of this. Hellerstein added that Maduro's lawyer could do so later. At this point in time, I only want to know one thing. Are you Nicolas Maduro Moros? I am Nicolas Maduro Moros, the defendant responded. Maduro's lawyer, Barry Pollack, said he expects to contest the legality of his military abduction. Pollack, a prominent Washington lawyer, whose clients have included WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, said Maduro is head of a sovereign state and is entitled to the privileges and immunities that go with that office. Panamanian strongman Manuel Noriega unsuccessfully tried the same immunity defense after the U.S. captured him in a similar military invasion in 1990. but the U.S. doesn't recognize Maduro as Venezuela's legitimate head of state, particularly after a much-disputed 2024 re-election. Flores, who identified herself to the judge as First Lady of the Republic of Venezuela, had bandages on her forehead and right temple. Her lawyer, Mark Donnelly, said she suffered significant injuries during her capture. A 25-page indictment accuses Maduro and others of working with drug cartels to facilitate the shipment of thousands of tons of cocaine into the U.S. They could face life in prison if convicted. Among other things, the indictment accuses Maduro and his wife of ordering kidnappings, beatings, and murders of those who owed them drug money or undermined their drug trafficking operation. That included the killing of a local drug boss in Caracas, the indictment said. Outside of the courthouse, police separated those protesting the U.S. military action from pro-intervention demonstrators. Inside the courtroom, as the proceeding wrapped up and Maduro prepared to leave, 33-year-old Pedro Rojas stood up and began speaking forcefully at him in Spanish. Rojas said later, he had been imprisoned by the Venezuelan regime. As deputy U.S. marshals led Maduro from the courtroom, the deposed leader looked directly at the man and shot back in Spanish, "I am a kidnapped president. I am a prisoner of war." Trump said Saturday the U.S. would run Venezuela temporarily and reiterated Sunday night that we're in charge, telling reporters we're going to run it. Fix it. And our final front page story today from the commercial news is related and is titled Local Leaders React to Attack on Venezuela. And this is by Krista Jankowski. Local political leaders responded to the attack on Venezuela over the weekend, leading to the capture of Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores. State Representative Robin Kelly, Democrat from Illinois, posted on her social media, while she did not support Maduro, she disagrees with President Donald Trump's administrative actions in the South American country. Nicolas Maduro is an illegitimate ruler who oppressed the people of Venezuela, but President Trump's unilateral decision to attempt a regime change in Venezuela is short-sighted and drags the U.S. into a reckless conflict that could destabilize the entire region, Kelly shared. I demand a vote on the War Powers Resolution to stop President Trump from launching further military action without congressional approval. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat from Illinois, sent out a news release regarding the president's actions. The Constitution requires the American people, through their elected representatives in Congress, to authorize any president to engage in acts of war, because they will be the ones to live with the consequences of the decision, and it is unacceptable for this president to deny them that responsibility, Duckworth said, in part. Maduro was unquestionably a bad actor, but no president has the authority to unilaterally decide to use force to topple a government, thrusting us and the region into uncertainty without justification. A defined end state or a real plan for preventing the instability that could come next. His actions continue putting American troops, personnel, and citizens at risk both in the region and around the globe. None of that serves our nation's interests. Meanwhile, across the aisle, Congresswoman Mary Miller, Republican from Illinois, had a much different reaction, condemning the response from some Democrats. Democrats, once again, chose the wrong side of history, she shared on Facebook. Indiana Congressman Jim Baird, Republican from Indiana, says he is thankful for the president's actions. We are fortunate to have a president willing to follow through on protecting American lives, Baird said. Decisive leadership as commander-in-chief matters, and it gives our men and women in uniform the confidence they need to carry out difficult missions against those who threaten our country. Baird made clear he supports the president's actions. Holding indicted criminals accountable and denying drug traffickers a safe haven sends a clear message. The United States will not tolerate foreign actors who enable the flow of fentanyl and other deadly drugs into our communities, Baird said. This mission underscores Congress's responsibility to ensure our military has the resources it needs to defend the nation. A strong national defense is essential to our national security and to keeping American families safe. Indiana Congressman Mark Mesmer, also a Republican from Indiana, was in full support. Thank you, President Donald Trump, for your leadership, and God bless our U.S. service members for their courage in Venezuela, he stated on social media. According to the AP News, Maduro pled not guilty in his first court appearance in New York on Monday, and he is being held at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for January 6th. And the first today is for Marion Sue Haas. Marion Sue Haas, 72, of Ridge Farm, passed away on December 31st, 2025, at the Haven of Tuscola. Per Sue's wishes, cremation will take place. A memorial service celebrating her life will be held on Monday, January 12, 2026, at 12 p.m. at Sunset Funeral Homes Houghton Leisure Chapel, located at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, Illinois. A visitation will be held immediately prior to the service from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. that morning at the funeral home. She will be placed to rest next to Jim at Vermilion Grove Cemetery following services. Marilyn Satterwhite. Marilyn L. Satterwhite Weinard, a founder of Danville Area Community College, has passed away. She died of pancreatic cancer on January 5, 2026, at age 83. Visitation will take place on Friday, January 9th, 2026, from 5 to 7 p.m., and Saturday, January 10th, from 9 to 10 a.m., with funeral services held on Saturday, January 10th, at 10 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Burial will follow at Rossville Cemetery. Wanda E. Moore. Wanda E. Moore, 83, of Tilton, passed away at her home on Sunday, January 4th, 2026, with her family by her side. Visitation will be on Wednesday, January 7th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., with services beginning at 1 p.m. Lisa Miller will officiate. After services, Wanda will be laid to rest beside her husband at Songer Cemetery in Tilton. Gary Catlett. Gary Catlett, 89, of Catlin, died Monday, January 5th at Ascension St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robison Chapel at 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Timothy Graves. Timothy Graves, 69, of Ridge Farm, died Saturday, January 3rd, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvet Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Pearlie Nolan. Pearlie Mae Nolan, 78 of Danville died Tuesday, December 30th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn briefly to the News Gazette for a story titled Danville's Village Mall. Future uncertain as another store looks to close property up for auction again. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. With the holiday season wrapped up and a new year here, the future of the Village Mall again remains uncertain. The mall is being auctioned off again later this month, and customers are being told that Dunham Sports, which opened in 2011 at the mall, also will be closing this month. But not all is doom and gloom for the high-traffic area mall. Slumberland Furniture had one of its best years yet. Damon Derrickson, assistant manager with the Danville Slumberland, reports that business has been great. "We're doing great. It's one of the best years. It's the best year since we've been here," he said. It opened in 2016. Slumberland owner Larson Family Real Estate purchased the 60,000-square-foot site of the former Sears store at the mall. Shoe Sensation also is in part of the site at now, leasing space from Larson. "The remaining subdivided space has been available for lease," Derrickson said. Larson Family Real Estate also owns the adjacent south outlot in the mall's parking lot. Derrickson said he didn't know why cones are now surrounding and blocking off that area as of earlier this week and south of Slumberland. "There also are cones around part of the parking lot behind the mall where the movie theater and Burlington used to be." Messages to mall management have not been returned. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said the city also doesn't receive communication from the mall owner. Derrickson said, "As word traveled this week about Dunham's closing and that store not being offered another lease, he just wishes the city well." As for another mall auction, according to auction website LoopNet, the 10Z auction listing for the Village Mall states an online auction will occur January 26th through the 28th of the 281,606 square feet, 10% leased site at 2917 North Vermilion Street. Starting bid is $700,000, and the auction listing has had more than 520,600 views on the website. The listing states about the opportunity to purchase the mall, which has four letters of intent from national tenants, adding $713,553 in gross revenue annually. Current mall tenants include Bath & Body Works, Hibbett Sporting Goods, City Trends, and Danville Area Community College's Barber School. Mall properties appeared to be up for sale earlier this year, a year after three Village Mall properties sold at auction. In September, one of the parcels at 2917 North Vermilion Street, a fully occupied grocery-anchored shopping center with national tenants, was listed on LoopNet with a selling price of $7.187 million. Current tenants included County Market, Pet Supplies Plus, Ross Dress for Less, and Dunham Sports. Meanwhile, the Interior Corridor Mall building itself, purchased at auction last year for $470,000 by Jimmy Virk, CEO of California-based Beyond Bankcard, was listed for an undisclosed rate on the Crexie.com real estate site. Williams was optimistic about the company's finances and having leases close to being finalized with Five Below and a movie theater. Williams also said he was disappointed the city wasn't contacted about the properties being put up for sale again. The city had offered incentive packages to help with the redevelopment of the mall, he added. The mall site was put up for sale last year by then-owner AZT Corp., which cut short the leases of multiple tenants. The city previously has emphasized it will proactively be enforcing building code and maintenance standards for the mall property, and will hold buyers liable for the condition of the structure and parking lots. After last year's auction, Williams confirmed there were local bidders, including the city itself, being an unsuccessful bidder. He said the city was working behind the scenes to get the property in the hands of investors who can make it something we can be proud of. Turning to the commercial news, our next story is a staff report. Danville man sentenced to prison for burglary meth. Danville. Arnoldo Molina, 49, of Danville, pled guilty in two separate cases to methamphetamine delivery, a Class 1 felony, and burglary, a Class 2 felony, on December 15th. In an official release from the Illinois State Attorney's Office, Molina was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and following his imprisonment, he will serve 1 year of mandatory supervised release. According to the release, the people presented evidence that on April 24, 2025, the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department arrived on scene for a burglary in progress in the area of West Lake Boulevard in Danville and found Arnoldo Molina on the property. The front door of the residence was partially open, and deputies spoke to the owner, who stated the residence had been checked that morning and the door was closed and secure. Upon further investigation, deputies located electronic items that had been placed by the front door of the residence, as well as a bolt cutter and chainsaw that the owner reported had not been there before. Deputies learned that the owner had received a call from Molina several days prior asking if the house was for sale. Additionally, the people also presented evidence that on June 26, 2025, an officer with the Danville Police Department asked this defendant for his identification, and the defendant provided a false name. The officer matched the tattoo on the back of the defendant's head and confirmed the defendant was Molina, who had outstanding warrants. Molina was searched, and officers located individually wrapped packages of a substance that field tested positive for methamphetamine on Molina's person and his bag. Molina advised officers that the substance was methamphetamine. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey thanked the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department and the Danville Police Department for their hard work in both cases. This sentence reflects the severity of both offenses and sends a clear message that continued criminal behavior will have serious consequences, she said in the release. And in another staff report, we have Danville man sentenced to prison for meth dealing. Curtis Lake, 47, of Danville, pled guilty to possession of methamphetamine with the intent to deliver on December 15th. In an official release from the Illinois State Attorney's Office, Lake was sentenced to 8 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, and following his term of imprisonment, he will serve 18 months of mandatory supervised release. According to the release, the people presented evidence that on February 2, 2025, an officer with the Danville PD attempted to conduct a traffic stop of a man riding a bicycle and acting suspiciously. The officer activated his emergency lights, but the man continued riding away. He was apprehended and identified as Curtis Lake. Lake was found to be in possession of 20 grams of methamphetamine, which he admitted to police he was transporting to another person. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, January 6th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.